Good afternoon. This is Rob. Who's on, please?
Hey, Rob. It's Kenny.
And Chris is on the line as well.
Okay, great.
How you doing, Rob?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Yeah. We've had better days, but that's not important right now.
Okay. Anything I can help with?
There was an account, a relationship. We had, it was an older couple who, can I hang on 1 second?
Yep.
It was an older couple who I was working with closely. The dad, or the husband had a stroke. Was going, went to a nursing home. It was the daughter and her husband sort of took over the account, and they were, they are CPAs, relatively decently sized CPAs, and was doing a ton of work, with them, working with their estate attorneys, getting everything out of the husband's name into the wife's name, changing all, they have tons of annuities from the 90s, doing just tons and tons of logistical paperwork over the last year and a half, and working closely with their estate attorneys. So that was good. So, like, their estate attorneys are a COI of mine, trying to do some stuff with the father and son who are the CPAs. The son was that CPA who I've chatted with you about him being a COI, but I've had a tough time getting anything going with him. My dad was working on the relationship with the father CPA. We, you know, managed to wrap the account, do some good investments. I was doing lots of good logistical work, working closely with the estate attorneys. Just called today because I actually had an idea for them that, you know, they've got millions, that they have like almost 2 million, in annuities, and like 1.8 of it was all gains. They're a CPA, so they were trying to figure out, you know, I defaulted to them on a tax efficient strategy. They wound up liquidating most of them, but they still have like 800,000. And I had an idea that it seemed to be all this money is for the kids, you know, of which he is indirectly going to be a beneficiary because his wife is one of their kids. You know, maybe turn on the income from those three remaining annuities and use it to fund life insurance within the trust, really leveraging that. You could stop eating all of these taxes, sort of spread it out, and leverage that income stream to pay premium benefits and get a big payout on a second to die policy. But I wanted to have a meeting with the estate attorneys, the clients, and our insurance specialist. So I just called to catch up with him, and he informed me that that they are going to be, when they set up the, they're setting up an irrevocable trust for the wife, his mother-in-law, you know, just to start her look-back period because her health isn't great. So that's part of what we're doing with the state attorneys. They're moving, when they're getting all the assets in there, which they haven't done, they're going to be moving it all away from UBS and us. And so I asked why, like, what's the reason for that? And it's that his firm, his CPA firm, which used to be, like, his individual firm, he merged with a much bigger firm called Prager Medis, and they have Prager Medis Wealth Management. And since he and his son are partners in it, you know, he said they have a financial incentive to bring in assets. And so that's what they're doing. So, you know, I asked if this was a negative reflection on us and the way we service them or perform. And he's kind of a gruff, matter-of-fact type A guy. And he's like, no, he's like, I'm not shy. He's like, you know, if it was something you guys did, he said, I wouldn't be shy telling you. So that whole relationship is going away. And it just kind of muddies all the waters of, you know, referrals, working together, using them as a COI. You know, I said, before I even got into that insurance idea, this conversation happened. I said, well, you know, are you going to be getting advice? Because, like, for example, I had an idea that I wanted to work with you on. I said, but, you know, once the assets go away, I guess we're not going to be working together. And he started saying things like, oh, no. He's like, you know, not closing the door completely. There is, you know, if there are referrals, you know, we send you guys referrals, or if you send us referrals, which hasn't happened yet. You know, not closing the door completely. So I left it out there. He didn't really want to set up a meeting to go through that insurance idea. He thought I could talk to the estate attorney and then just bring whatever ideas I had across his table. So that happened about a half hour ago.
Yeah, I would kick him out the door and never talk to him again, okay?
Yeah.
Hey, Kenny really actually, he busted his butt for these people. He did a lot of legwork for them.
Yeah, that's just rude, you know. They're just
it is very rude.
You know, part of life is figuring out who the good guys are and who the bad guys are. And these guys turned out to be a couple of bad guys. And they'll wait till they get involved with a Bernie Madoff or something, and then they'll kick out their money management arm and never want to do it again. But that's one of the challenges of our business, is that everybody sees the revenues and, you know, they're making...
Yeah, they want their part.
Yeah, well, they're making 10, you know, for taxes, and you're making 30 for managing the money, and they want that 30, you know.
Yep.
So you can't... it's just part of why we prospect, because you never can.
It's attrition.
You can't protect yourself from, you know, catastrophic things that happen in life, and this is one of them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he said it was no slight on us. If anything, I would think he's probably been pretty happy. We made changes to the portfolio, and where the service was up there, did everything right, and the markets cooperated, so it was relatively fortuitous timing. So, you know, if he said it was anything on us, I would have, you know, bristled a little bit, but nope. It was just, you know, he's a partner in this firm, and I'm sure the bigger firm structures it such that, you know, sort of their partner compensation is contingent upon, you know, certain assets coming in the door, hitting certain breakpoints and thresholds. So that's what this is.
And it's another incentive to do financial planning and charge for it.
Right.
Because you're never going to get paid for all the work you did.
Yeah. I mean, it was, I don't know. I don't know how we could have charged this, because we actually didn't do any sort of plan for them. It was just so, I don't know, so many moving parts and confusing. It was basically, I was working as an extension of their estate planners.
Yeah, it may have gotten to that point once things kind of, you know, settled down or shook out, but it just didn't get there yet.
Yeah, the conversation actually got there today. They're trying to move, you know, the mother, whose health isn't great. They're trying to move her out of the home in Queens because it's further away from the facility where the husband is. And it's closer, they're looking for a condo that's closer to that facility, which is also closer to, you know, the CPA father and her daughter. And they were like, they're just trying to figure out how much her budget is, how much her monthly spend is. And it's like, oh, well, that's a financial plan, but this is coming on the coattails of this whole relationship leaving. So I just had a comment about how we hadn't referred anything. Was like, just like a dig, and it's like, okay, like, very minimal words there. I got a read on how you're operating. We tried to set something up, like, through the sun. That's how I, like, had my first lunch meeting with him. But then, it just didn't really materialize, and we haven't had any other referrals to give him, but they tried to follow up on it. Obviously, they're hungry for it and a referral source. And, we're just like, oh, it's still working. But obviously they had conversations about it and hadn't forgotten about it, and it's like, all right, nothing's going to happen on that front until we give you something. You know, it's a we give you something and then you give back, which is the reciprocation that you've chatted about with us. Makes sense to a degree, but just the fact that it was, I don't know, kind of flaunted like that, it's like, all right, that's great.
These just aren't the right people, you know.
Yeah.
Unfortunate.
It is unfortunate, and it's like they could have been a great COI for us because I think they were a sizable firm and successful, but, you know, they have this whole conflict with their wealth management part of this new firm they became part of, you know?
Right.
It's like you said they've got, you know, $1 billion under management, and they obviously have an incentive to send assets there, so... You know, what really are you going to do for us? And even if you start doing stuff for us, it's, you know, it's not going to be much.
Yeah.
Just thanks, because, I mean, I just don't feel like we have a ton of COIs, and they were a potential one, like that son who I've been struggling with. In my mind, I always viewed it as a potentially prominent one, but it's just not the case.
Yeah, start with, I mean, if you can, I mean, it's always best to start with friends.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when it's just pure business, then people are less uncomfortable screwing you.
Yeah. I have a different COI activity story I can share with you. So their estate attorneys, were some, like, I was working rather closely with their paralegal, not necessarily them. But they had mentioned, like, one of the times I was in there, you know, it's two partners, that, you know, oh, it'd be great. We should, you know, maybe grab lunch sometime. So I kept up on that. And my dad and I grabbed lunch with them. One of the partners, so like, they took us around the office. My takeaway was that they might not be a great COI for us just because of the different business models. It's almost like they're transactional. They have no recurring revenue source. So they said they're volume-based. They have to have clients come in. They deal with their issues. They charge for their trust and their time. And then they're done. He's like, it's actually a challenge for us because, you know, we don't have that recurring revenue. You know, it doesn't make sense for them to review their estates every 2 years or their trust every 2 years. Maybe I can make a case for 5 years, but it's more they're in and they're out. Basically, it was like we would be a good referral source for them, and it's not quite there, vice versa. I'm forgetting the way he said it could usually work for them is like if they're working with the parents, they work with the kids, and then they're set up as, you know, or if we refer kids and then they're working with their parents as the beneficiaries, then they get all the information, and it's like, oh, the parents have assets. Then it's like there is a connection there that they can sort of work, but it didn't seem like a great sort of, COI for us, but they did go on to tell me they work with they hired a marketing woman where they're like, she's great, she runs our schedule, wherever Sharon tells us to go, we're there, she books speaking engagements for them, like, I think it's like twice a month, and, you know, I said I'd be very interested in talking to her and hearing how that works, and he's like, yeah, it's great. If there's 30 people in the audience, we usually get 4 or 5 clients. Again, very different business model, but I said, wow, that sounds very interesting. I'd be, you know, she just sets it up, and he just shows up and does his speaking and has to, you know, not deal with anything. I was like, that's very fascinating. I would like to know more. Set up a call, and we actually just kept missing each other, but she's like, hey, Aaron's speaking at this retirement community or this assisted living center on Tuesday, this date, and there's this, you know, like a 15-minute slot in front of him if you want. And I was like, okay, I'm done with those, but hell yeah, I'm in. So that was on the 20th, 8 days ago. And I went, I spoke for 15 minutes. It was like, it was an old folks home. Everyone had walkers. It was a little frazzled, but it was good. I had got some speaking, public speaking opportunity, of which I don't have a lot. I got to frame sort of a lot of the stuff we do as a team into like a pitch. But also it was mostly educational. And I got, you know, just a potentially deeper relationship with the estate attorney, if that materializes and goes anywhere. Now, since then, I have a call coming up sometime this week or next week with that woman, Sharon, just as a follow-up. I'm not sure where it's going to go, but maybe she is a consultant who can do marketing-related event organization stuff for us. I don't know. So that's all I got.
Rob, have you had experience with the, you know, those types of marketing people in the past and advisors using them?
No, actually, but I'd be interested. I think, you know, doing some joint work with them. You know, old folks' homes are typically not where we prospect.
Correct. Hopefully that's not her only venue.
Right. So you need to have a long talk with her and figure out what she does and why, how she does it and what she'd be interested in. I mean, doing joint work means half the cost. So that's a good thing. But you know, I'm sure your client opportunity is the same. They're not interested in small accounts without estate problems. So,
yep.
You know, your market is the same, so she should be prospecting in the same pool for both of you, and doing joint works would make sense. So I agree that estate planning attorneys are not great centers of influence. They're very transactional. Some of them charge an ongoing fee, very few. They typically get referred to, but they don't generate a lot of business. They don't have people like Sharon, but if they do, then that is a source of potential business because that isn't coming through another FA. But typically they're referred to by people in our industry and therefore becomes difficult for them to refer to you. So they typically are not marketers. They're just lawyers that bill by the hour and do transactions. That's not unusual. That's 95% of them. And I find that they don't really even implement whatever they sell. They simply give them the trust and expect that the person that is getting the trust knows enough to retitle the securities.
No, exactly. That was actually one of the – I said that at the speaking engagement. I was saying that, you know, I was like top three things you should do, you know, IRA, beneficiary audits, titling checks. And then I talked about, you know, a lot of times people will work with estate attorneys and then forget to do the most important part, which is you just bought this shiny new Ziploc bag and you didn't put anything in it to protect it. So you got to make sure you then put all of the assets into the trust.
And we've definitely come across that in our careers where it's like, but I have a trust. It's like, you do, but you didn't put anything in it. Or,
you know, everybody, every account you run into, you ask them how it's titled, and they say joint with rights of survivorship. And you go, really? I thought you said you had a trust. Yeah, I do. Well,
yeah.
Not activated because you don't have anything in it.
Yep.
That's a big part of it. So yeah, I would have one or two solid estate planning attorneys that I work with. I would not expect a lot in return from them. That wouldn't be my source of revenues. But it's a service that you provide for the client. And if they're good at doing it and they're fun and you like them and you're willing, they're willing some joint work with you and do some joint seminars, that's great.
Yeah, that's what it seems like the best case scenario would be. They do seem like good quality guys. They do good work. they did all the right things by this client, which was they were talking about how it was a very complicated case. It was a big case. They started with different attorneys, and they were getting all sorts of crazy advice where we were getting, like, accounting questions from the accountant, which I was like, what the hell is going on? And we were getting estate attorney questions from the estate attorneys, where I was like, I would default, like, the clients were feeding them to us. I was like, I would be asking those professionals those questions because that's not what we do. But I was just sharing what information I had. They were getting bad advice, and thank goodness they switched. These guys did everything right, started saving them $18,000 a month, like, right off the bat because that's what the home was costing them. They were like, you stop paying. We're getting you on Medicaid, and they might come back. They'll sue. But then we'll be negotiating for, you know, cents on the dollar as opposed to you just paying out of pocket now $18,000 a month. And, you know, they just did everything pretty well. They seem high volume, but they're fun guys. So I would be comfortable referring to them. And if there's speaking engagements and things like that where we can work together, like you said, yeah, that seems like it might be best case scenario.
Good. So how about other centers of influence?
I think I need to go back to the forest and chop some more trees down, go through when we were looking at CPAs and gathering people's accountants to just start getting some lunches. I've struck out with a couple, like they just kicked the can down the road,
yeah,
saying like, hey, we want to grab lunch. He's like, oh, is there anything important? I think you coached me about this one on the last call, where you basically said, oh, well, if he kind of kicked the can, you just said, oh, that's a shame. I had a referral I wanted to introduce you to. And then all of a sudden he's got all the time in the world. But, yeah, I just got to go back to the well, I guess. I think Chris and I both are kind of limited on the COI front. Which is not to say that, you know, they're not there. We just have to do a better job building out that pipeline.
What about your niches or niche mastermind groups?
I would say we don't have a niche.
Yeah.
I am going to – my mother-in-law is getting me in touch with – I don't know where this is going, very infancy stages. And she's not even my mother-in-law yet, but there is one of her wealthy friends who likes me is part of some big group that meets monthly, where it sounded like a group that he would be in a networking type group. And I don't know. That is about all I have going in terms of groups.
Rob, Kenny was telling me about your call with them last month, and he mentioned how you could help him kind of prospect with unions. And you know, could that be a niche that we could, you know, kind of, you know, work on, you know, learn more about, you know, or, you know, I'm kind of out of a loss as to how we can, you know, get more union type business. We've got a great one, but you know, as Kenny mentioned to you, you know, we're not in touch with them. We can't get in touch with them. It's a, you know, and it frightens us, you know, so it's like, you know, that would be disastrous if we lost an account like that, but it would be really fabulous if we could, you know, find a way to, you know, seek out accounts like that.
Well, I mean, one of the things that Supernova does is it tells you who is at risk and who isn't. And it tells you really who you have a relationship with and who's just an account, right? To me, if you can't get in touch with somebody and they aren't doing 1242, then this is a high risk situation. This is an at risk client.
No.
Some clients don't want to communicate other than through email and text and things like that. That's a tenuous situation. because it doesn't. That's not a deep, meaningful relationship. You know the difference now that you're doing Supernova. You talk to these people every month. All of a sudden, you have a deep, meaningful relationship with them. It's very, it's wonderful. I mean, you enjoy it. They enjoy it. You know what they're thinking, and they know what you're thinking. They trust you. They like you, and they pretty much turn over all their assets to you, and you feel good about what you're doing, and you gain confidence. You know, that's the supernova process. So anybody that you don't have a supernova relationship with, I would put in the high-risk category, and I would definitely find a way to meet with them. I mean, they may be big enough that you don't want to reassign them, but to me, it's either meet with them, turn them into a client, or reassign them, because it isn't a relationship. It's just an account. And you want to have all relationships. It affects your brand.
Yeah, this is a big one. This is important to us. We want to turn it in the other direction and make sure that they...
Yeah, you need to find out what you can do to make them... You need to meet with them and talk to them and ask them what they need and what you can do to help them and to build a better relationship. Union guys are all about relationships. They'll never leave because they value the relationships that they have. Very hard to get them. Typically difficult to get them away from somebody else because they are very loyal. So I'm surprised that you would have one where you don't have that kind of intimate relationship because they value that a lot.
And it seems like it's been like that from the get-go. We basically inherited this from a former partner who retired. He had that close relationship with the original treasurer. They were basically friends. You know, so the account kind of came over to us. We ended up, taking reins of the account and handling it properly the way it should have been handled because it was kind of handled in a very hodgepodge fashion. So we did do, good work for them. But, since he's retired, he even had trouble getting in touch with them. It's just,
how much,
it's like they were.
How much
sorry?
Did they generate, you guys? How much income?
$90,000 in gross.
Oh, Jesus. And what have you done to get in touch with them? You call them and they don't return the call and that's it?
Yeah, it's usually Ed, because he's like the lead on this one. And it's, he'll text them, he'll call them, leave voicemail messages. I really need to talk to you. And my take from Ed is that they just, don't get back to him.
Yeah, I'd have to brush up on if he's texting them. But he says, usually when he's hounding somebody, he is on them. I haven't gone after them myself. But he said he's on them. So I assume that means calling them. We have the president's cell phone number. And I believe he calls the cell phone and he'll send a text.
What's the union?
I'll come in when I'm done.
What type of union is it?
It's a bricklayer's union.
Well, I would try offering them incentives to communicate with.
Yeah, pension, actuarial.
Yeah.
Can I
got to call back.
Can I hang on 1 second? Sorry, Rob. Can you say that again?
I would give him tickets to the Yankees game.
Now, it's my understanding that if you even buy a cup of coffee for a union rep, that there's like, it's a big, big no-no. In the industry. Like, we took them fishing years ago before these rules went into effect. which was great. We took him out on a fishing boat. We had a blast. And then, like, new rules came down with regard to what you can and can't do with union reps. And, you know, we basically, you know, kind of put the kibosh on that.
Wow.
I don't know if it's something, you know, you risk, you know, and just kind of do it underhandedly.
I would find out what the rules are, and then I'd abide by them. But
yeah,
you gotta. I mean, you were right on the fishing thing. I would try and. I mean, that's sad. I mean, that's a hard one. I don't have an easy answer there.
Yeah, well, I think that's good guidance. Is know exactly 100% what the rules are, and then use them to the max. Because that seems like I agree. It's got to be something that they want to do. They don't want to meet with us, obviously. They don't care. All this stuff seems like an annoyance to them. They're like, yeah, it's here, we got to do it, but I would rather go to the golf course and smoke my cigar and drive my Chrysler around instead of dealing with you suits, is the impression I got.
All suits, I know.
So it seems like, yeah, if it was something that was fun, that would be like a fun day for them, or a meeting or something like that, then maybe, you know, that would get them in. But yeah, I don't know what the rules are.
We had a wonderful golf outing for them.
Yeah.
It was that among other things. They were, you know, they really valued what we offered, and we went out of our way to help them.
Yeah.
Well, that's too bad.
All right, well, I mean.
We'll check with our compliance. We have a good compliance guy that we trust, better than the old one. And he's really good at giving us, you know, correct information. So I'll touch base with him as to, you know, what the do's and the don'ts currently are.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, this is month 9, and so I'd love to continue this discussion for another year, helping you guys build your practice up to where it belongs.
Right.
It's a minimal charge. It's $3,000 for a monthly call. And, you know, we could...
$3,000 a year or $3,000 a month?
A year.
A year, okay.
That's a pretty... I mean, I try and make it a great deal so you guys will just continue and refer me and, you know, help me. And
yeah.
Because, you know, I think it makes sense. And I like, you know, just like you, you know, you don't want to, you know, it's easier to keep a good account than it is to find a new one. So I'd love to keep working with you guys and help you, you know, get this marketing plan off the ground. But,
yep.
You know, so... I'll have Cindy send you a bill if you choose to do it. Then go ahead and pay it. You can probably pay it in before tax dollars through your you
business builder.
Business builder account. Yep. It becomes a pretty a small outlay for. Hopefully, you know, we can come up with a couple good ideas during the year. That's all it takes.
Yeah.
You know? So,
is this technically the last, this is the last session?
This is actually the very last session, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and
I thought it might be. You know, we weren't 100% sure.
Yeah, I wish my dad could have been on this call.
Yeah, me too, because I enjoy him a lot. Yeah. I enjoy you all. You've got a great team, and I think you're on your way. We just need some, you know, some little more concrete ideas, which I have, you know, we just have to execute on them and you know, do it step by step. So think about it. I'd love to help.
Yep.
And if you, it'll be as simple as just go ahead and execute on the invoice. Otherwise, you know, we'll, you know, call me when you're ready. I'd love to, love to continue it.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Robert. That's fantastic. Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Thanks very much, Ken. Thanks, Chris. I enjoyed it and look forward to working with you in the future. Thanks.
Like, you're up.
Bye-bye.
Take care.